truth.
Hey gang, welcome to another exciting episode of National Bugle Radio on the Republic Broadcasting Network, RBN, republicbroadcasting.org. It's the SOS of free speech because in addition to being an emergency call signal, RBN is also an old song by ABBA that only boomers remember. So go to republicbroadcasting.org, click on the donate button, send badly needed funds. The address is 2251 Double Creek Drive, Suite 302, Round Rock, Texas 78664, the phone number 1-800-724-2719, extension 3. Today's Monday. We've got Mark Collett with us. Mark, welcome to the show.
Hello, Patrick. I hope you are well, and hello to all the listeners. Now, as many people will be aware, we've got some bad news. You may have heard it, you may not, but I'm going to tell you it all the same. Unfortunately, one of our activists, a very good friend of mine, a comrade, who's a father, he is a husband, he's a hard-working family man who runs his own business. You'll have heard of him. His name is Sam Melia. We've discussed him before on the show. He was found guilty of inciting, attempting to incite racial hatred recently, and his sentencing was at the back end of last week. So his sentencing was on Friday morning, to be precise. Now, it was meant to be at 9:30 in the morning. Inexplicably, at the 11th hour, literally the evening before, it was delayed for some reason to 11:30, which seemed very strange. And we went in for the sentencing, and Sam was unfortunately sentenced to a 2-year custodial sentence for putting out completely legal stickers that didn't cause any criminal act, but because the court deemed that he was guilty of being motivated by racial hatred when he produced those stickers, Sam has now been sentenced to a 2-year long custodial sentence at His Majesty's pleasure. He is now in prison. There's quite a few different bits to unpack about this case, which I'm sure Patrick will ask me about. But I've got to say, this is a complete and total miscarriage of justice. This is absolutely disgusting. It's something that has shocked and appalled people all over the UK. It's even had Elon Musk make commentary on it. So it's something that obviously we're all very, very upset about and we'll be campaigning about. But yeah, I don't know what you've got to say about this, Patrick, or what questions you've got to ask me, but go for it.
Well, first of all, I would think that compared to producing a sticker what were some of the offending stickers?
Like it's okay to be white, white lives matter, really sort of commentary that is actually totally legal. And that's the first thing people might remember this from the show we did earlier on this topic. But the Crown, the prosecution service, they did state that the stickers in themselves were actually lawful and constituted completely lawful speech. But because they believed Sam's motivation in producing the stickers was to stir up racial hatred, it didn't matter that the stickers themselves were legal. What mattered was that Sam was intending to stir up racial hatred by, via these completely legal stickers.
And you had mentioned that two or maybe three of the stickers had something to do with Israel or Jewish power.
There was a couple, and these were very tame as well. One of them read, "Anti-Semitism is caused by Semitism," which basically means that people become anti-Semitic because of the way that Jews behave.
Right.
And, you know, that I don't really think that's that really controversial. I mean, saying that a group of people behave in a way that leads to pushback, I don't think that's a big controversial statement. It certainly wasn't anything involving racial slurs or, you know, these people need to pay or anything like that.
Isn't that basically Newton's first law? For every action, there's an equal and opposite reaction?
Yes.
It's pretty close to that. And so here's the thing. When you crack down on somebody who said something as mild and defensible and what shouldn't be so controversial, but you crack down on them and send them to jail for 2 years, isn't that going to lead to a lot more racial animosity than any of those stickers ever did?
That's a very good question. And it's fundamentally something that, you know, we should all be asking, you know, what will be the result of this? Well, there's a lot of people who are very angry about this. There's a lot of people who are up in arms. There's a lot of people who are very, very annoyed about what's happened to Sam. In fact, furious. And I think that's largely because people are looking at this and saying, hey, this guy did something that wasn't illegal, but he's being punished with a pretty weighty custodial sentence. And at the same time, over the Conservative Party's reign from 2010, over 4,000 people convicted of paedophilia, some form of child sex offence, have been allowed to walk free from court with community orders or with suspended sentences. And in fact, the judge that sentenced Sam recently gave a multiple time child sex offender a suspended sentence. So he gave a guy that was in front of him or in front of the court for a second time for child sex offences a second suspended sentence. So this guy has committed the same crime twice and being given suspended sentences both times, yet his crime was, by any metric, far, far worse than what Sam did. I mean, this guy was, you know, obviously, you know, looking at and disseminating child porn.
So, Sam has been sent to jail, not for any crime he committed, right? Because there was no crime that was committed, so it's not, wasn't sent to jail for any crime for any crime at all, but he was sentenced because somehow the judge feels that he understands that Sam's motivations, and Sam's motivations are naughty somehow.
It's worse than that. In the judge's summation, the judge labored the point that he could have suspended the sentence, and in fact, Sam's probation officer recommended a community order and a suspended sentence, but the judge chose to ignore that. And instead of giving Sam a suspended sentence, he gave him 2 years custodial with immediate effect on the basis that he wanted this to serve as a deterrent to anybody else who basically sought to discuss these topics, to do something like this, you know, to advocate for the well-being of white people. That's what this is about. This was about sending a message. And there is words, because I was in court. I went with Sam. I was there. I saw him get sent down. And, we were all there in the public gallery when it happened. And basically, this wasn't about justice. This is about sending a very, very strong message to people who disagree with the current political system and who advocate for the rights of white people. That's what this was about. And this was something that fundamentally was done as really an establishment terror tactic, if you like. This is terrorism from the establishment. It's a terror tactic. It's a way to silence people by spreading this fear that if you have the wrong opinions, you will go to jail. If you've got the wrong opinions, you're off to jail. And that is what this was about. This wasn't about any form of justice. It certainly wasn't about natural justice. I mean, the idea that somebody would go to jail for putting up stickers, which the court admitted were totally legal, seems, you know, thoroughly, thoroughly perverse. But despite how perverse this is what actually happened. And now we're in a position where a good man, a father, you know, a husband, is actually incarcerated in Britain for doing something that the prosecution service actually said was legal. And I think this sets an extremely dangerous precedent for the future, because this means now that if you do something that is legal, you could be arrested for it if the powers that be decide that you were motivated by something that they feel is illegal. Now, this is an interesting thing to discuss because you might remember this, Patrick. We discussed this a long time ago on your show, but there was an elderly woman who was driving in a car and she beeped her car horn at a black man. She beeped her car horn at a black man. And as she beeped her car horn at this black man, he or somebody reported her to the police. Somebody reported her to the police for beeping her car horn at him. And the police arrested her for something that was called a non-crime hate incident. Now, a non-crime hate incident is when somebody commits an act that is not actually in itself criminal, but is something that is motivated by racial hatred. So this guy who beeped his, oh, sorry, this woman who, this elderly woman who beeped her car horn at this black guy, she was arrested and she was dragged to a police station and questioned, you know, under caution, because the police were investigating a non-crime hate incident, which means now we are rapidly moving to a situation where if you do something which is completely legal, but anybody, a passerby, the individual concerned, or, you know, any other third party that hears about this, perceives you to be motivated by racial hatred, even if the incident itself isn't criminal, you will end up in a police station being questioned by the police under caution, and you could end up being charged. Now, at this point, I think the British state in the modern, you know, in a modern context is pretty much worse than the Bolsheviks. This is Bolshevism on steroids. And this is what we have to deal with. And it is all part of their program of propping up the multicultural state by fundamentally reducing any criticism whatsoever for multiculturalism.
Mm-hmm. So, and you used the word terrorism. Now, terrorism doesn't have a single definition. You know, sometimes it's defined one way or another way by this organization or by that statute. But in general, the elements of terrorism are acts of violence which are aimed at coercing an entire population. And the violence is typically has at least some sort of random or unpredictable nature, such that the entire population feels at risk from them, right? So, you know, the assassination of a president is a nasty thing, but most people aren't the president and most people aren't at risk from it. To punish somebody so severely for the type of activity that a big hunk of the population might engage in, which is not illegal, but just simply discussing problems that they see, that fits a definition of terrorism. So it really is terroristic. I wanted to bring that out.
Well, the reason I use the term terrorism is because the term terrorism was actually coined in France, in revolutionary France, and it was a term used to describe the government. And it was a term used to describe the government because the government were oppressing the people via terror tactics. And this is exactly what we're seeing now. We are seeing this here in the UK. We are seeing the government using terror tactics to keep people down. And this is terrorism, because what it does is it keeps people in a permanent state of fear, fear to speak their mind, fear to express themselves, fear to step outside what the government defines as the reasonable political narrative. And as far as I'm concerned, that is absolutely shocking. It goes against free speech and it goes against sort of natural law and natural justice, because fundamentally, we have never in this country seen this kind of thing before. And people in this country always used to say, well, it's a free country, isn't it? Well, it's not a free country. It isn't a free country anymore. We don't have freedom. We don't have freedom of speech. We do not have freedom of association. We can't speak our minds. And if we do step outside of what, you know, the media and the political establishment define as the political mainstream, that unfortunately is a situation which can land you with a jail sentence, and a jail sentence for doing something which in itself is actually a legal act. So I don't understand how anyone could define this as anything other than terrorism. This is, we are living under a terrorist state here in the UK, and it is it's a terrorist state imposed by a man. Well, at the moment, it's led by a man who isn't even, you know, of our people. He's not even of indigenous descent. So it is very much a, you know, being imposed by a government that is run by people who are not of the indigenous populace. And that gives it an even darker, you know, complexion, if you like, because this is the kind of thing that the left talk about. The left talk about colonialism and colonial powers, you know, exerting, you know, their will against, you know, indigenous peoples. Well, what is this? This is exactly that. You have people who are not of indigenous stock passing laws and ruling against the indigenous folk in a way that takes away the rights of the indigenous folk, specifically their rights to advocate for themselves and to organize, which, you know, in my opinion, it's a fundamental breach of human rights as well.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and regarding the motivation, because he's imprisoned not because of a crime, but because of alleged motivation for legal action. Everything he did was legal, but the actions he did, which were legal, were supposedly motivated by racial hatred. And somehow the judge feels that he's got extrasensory perception and knows what motivated this gentleman. And, you know, you can be motivated to oppose something not by a bunch of different reasons. It doesn't have to be animosity. You look at, in the United States, you've got a number of, say, Jewish individuals or Jewish groups. You got the groups like Jewish Voice for Peace, which have been out demonstrating against Israel's current military policies. And they carry signs, and some signs can read things like "not in my name." And these people aren't motivated. These Jews who are out protesting against Israeli policy, I don't think very many of them are motivated by racial animosity. I think in many cases, I don't pretend to know the motivation of people. I don't pretend to have extrasensory perception, but I would speculate that in many cases they are motivated because of their concern for the Jewish people. They don't like policies that are being pursued by the Israeli government that are widely seen around the world as being excessively harsh, to use a very mild term, and don't think it's good for the Jewish people to be associated with those policies. And so they're motivated by concern for the Jewish people. These groups are out protesting because of concern for the Jewish people. Now, I'm not saying everybody has to be concerned and motivated by love or whatever. I think anger is a human emotion, and people can be motivated by that. But you don't know what motivates people. And this idea that you can stop legal activity because of just some sort of allegation of motivation by this emotion as opposed to that emotion, it goes back to in 2017 when Donald Trump issued an executive order based on legislation that allows the president black letter law that allows the president to restrict immigration from particular countries out of national security concerns. And a lower court judge said, well, he may have that authority, but because he's motivated by racial animosity, he's not allowed to use it. And, you know, this is setting it's more than a precedent, because now this has become very common. This type of thing has become very common. It's more than just a precedent. It's become policy that judges are allowed to. I am an anti-Christ. I am an anarchist. Don't know what I want, but I know how to get it. I want to destroy, possibly, because I
Find your inner rebel at Dixie Republic, the world's largest Confederate store, located in Travelers Rest, South Carolina. The anti-white, anti-Christ, anti-Southern world ends at the asphalt. Welcome to God's country. Log on to DixieRepublic.com to view our Southern merchandise, from flags to t-shirts to artwork. At the store, browse through our extensive collection of belt buckles and have a custom-made leather belt handcrafted in our Johnny Reb's Gun and Leather Shop. That's DixieRepublic.com, where you can meet all of your Southern needs.
Support those that support the network. Support Dixie Republic at DixieRepublic.com. Email ProudSouthern123@gmail.com and let them know that RBN sent you.
I'm so excited to have you as part of the Wild Pastures family, and we look forward to bringing you the pasture-raised meats that you and your family will love. Now, we started Wild Pastures because so many of my clients would tell me they just couldn't find high-quality pasture-raised meats, and even when they did, it was so expensive that they couldn't afford to eat it regularly. Now, I'm not talking about the bottom-of-the-barrel healthy meats that have claims like natural or free-range or even cage-free, terms that were actually created by the industrial food industry to make us feel all warm and fuzzy about buying their low quality products. I'm talking about truly nourishing pasture-raised meats, the kind that you'll never really find in a grocery store. Our farmers are doing things beyond organic. Our beef is 100% grass-fed and grass-finished and raised on pastures free from chemicals and other pesticides. Our chickens are 100% pasture-raised, where they get their natural diet of grass and forage and insects. We will never settle for free-range, which is actually one of the most deceptive terms in the chicken industry. In fact, less than 0.1% of the chicken consumed in the United States is truly pasture-raised in the way that ours is. And our pork is 100% pasture-raised as well. So if you care about where your food comes from, then you have definitely made it to the right place. As a Wild Pastures member, you'll be supporting the most highly principled farmers in America and getting the most nutrient-dense, nourishing, and sustainable meats in the world. I'm confident you'll love being part of our mission at Wild Pastures, and you will really love the delicious, nourishing meats that we're going to deliver straight to your door.
Visit republicbroadcasting.org and click the Wild Pastures banner ad. Secure a shipment today. Beef, poultry, and pork raised the way nature intended.
Very common. This type of thing has become very common. It's more than just a precedent. It's become policy that judges are allowed to speculate about somebody's motives and punish them for legal activity because of allegations or speculation about naughty motives. So I'll kick it back to you, Mark.
Well, this is fundamentally one of the scariest things, because we're moving not just to thought crime, but I think we're also moving to something. I don't know if you've seen a film called The Minority Report or Minority Report. It was a Tom Cruise film. It's actually pretty good. And Minority
Report. I've heard of it, but I don't know it. No, I'm sorry.
Wait, you should watch it. It's good. It's good. And basically in this film, they have something called pre-crime, which is basically a way of they believe, you know, you're finding out who has committed a crime or who is going to commit a crime before that crime is committed. So when somebody is thought to be about to commit a crime, because, you know, these psychics can foresee these things, so people get arrested, you know, before they actually commit the criminal act. And then they are incarcerated essentially for something that they haven't done because they are yet to commit it. And that's really the plot of the film. And eventually, you know, a guy who works for this pre-crime division ends up falling foul of a sort of pre-crime sentencing, so of a crime that he hasn't committed, and they go after him. And this leads obviously to sort of Tom Cruise exposing how, you know, pre-crime is not a good thing. So it ends up with them, you know, deciding, yes, this is not a good thing. But the interesting thing about this is it's where we're going. You know, what were you thinking? Could what you did have stirred somebody else up to do something? Well, at that point, again, that is something that is really a worrying question to start asking. You know, could what you have done have stirred up somebody into doing something else? Well, it either did or it didn't. It did or it didn't. It's not a matter of could it have. It's did it. And if the answer is no, surely you haven't committed a crime. But again, that is not how it works. That's not how things work here. It's not a matter of did it. It's a matter of could it have and might it have done. Well, is that enough to sentence somebody to a custodial sentence? Well, you and I both know the answer to that is now yes. That is de facto. It is enough now to sentence somebody, even though a crime hasn't been committed or wasn't committed. And I believe that this is, it's almost funny because I wonder if these films are made to warn us or to soften us up for when these things actually happen, because it's incredible how effectively certain films, certain writings have predicted all of this coming to pass. And in the case of what's happened to Sam, it really is scary. But the good thing about this, and there's a silver lining to this rather awful cloud, and the silver lining is this has created a massive national conversation, and this has united people all over the dissident right from Tommy Robinson. You know, even Tommy Robinson's outraged about this. This is something that has caused, you know, widespread outrage, and rightly so. And I'm hoping that the conversation it does create will go on to potentially create real change and potentially to get people thinking. Now, I know, because obviously I run Patriotic Alternative, the group Patriotic Alternative, we have had a massive surge in members because of this. So our membership has gone through the roof over the last few days because of this, with people joining, you know, people donating, people wanting to get involved, people wanting to help, people wanting to protest, because people have had enough. And although I think it's awful what happened to Sam, I do think it's amazing and heartening what a response we've actually had to his incarceration. And I think that is a good thing. I think it's wonderful that people have actually started to say, hey, enough is enough. And, you know, Sam is a really normal, nice guy. You know, he's a family man. He works as a sign fitter. He's got his own business. His business is facing ruin. You know, his family would have been very, very badly off. But there's been a massive fundraiser. People have dug deep and, you know, donated to the cause. People are looking after him and, you know, looking after his wife. And this is good. This shows that what I've been saying for a long time, and people on this show will remember me saying this, that the biggest thing we need to do is build a community. And the community that we have built is now sticking up for somebody within that community who is facing hard times, which is exactly what we should be doing. It's exactly what any other ethnic group would do. And to see white people en masse actually standing up for one of their brothers who is facing a jail sentence for advocating for the rights of white people is a good thing. So although it's a dark subject that we're discussing, there are positives to this. And as I said, I do think Sam went to jail as a humble sign fitter, and, you know, a couple of days in, and he's effectively a national hero, which is a good thing.
Indeed. Now, you mentioned that that his actions
The truth.
You're listening to Republic Broadcasting Network. Real news, real talk, real people.
because you can handle the truth.
Tejibo Tea Club's original Pure Pau de Arco Super Tea helps build red corpuscles in the blood, which carry oxygen to our organs and cells. Our organs and cells need oxygen to regenerate themselves. The immune system needs oxygen to develop, and cancer dies in oxygen. So the tea is great for healthy people because it helps build the immune system, and it can truly be miraculous for someone fighting a potentially life-threatening disease due to an infection, diabetes, or cancer. The tea is also organic and naturally caffeine-free. A one-pound package of tea is $49.95, which includes shipping. To order, please visit drinksupertea.com. The first word is drink, spelled D-R-I-N-K, then the word super, then the word tea. The complete website is drinksupertea.com, or call us at 818-965-9113, Monday through Saturday, 9 a.m. to 5 p.m. California time. That's 818-965-9113. DrinkSuperTea.com.
What would you say if I told you we have a new tool that will increase production and lower maintenance costs for your meat processing company, and it would pay for itself in just 6 weeks?
When pigs fly!
The new EaseOff Model EZ4 replaces old spring-style carcass droppers and is faster, safer, and more reliable. The EaseOff lowers or lifts 1,000 pounds to or from your rail automatically using our remote control.
Sounds expensive! Can I afford it?
Can you afford not to try the EaseOff? It installs fast with just 3 bolts in place of your current dropper. The effortless operation will reduce fatigue and injuries, speed up your line, eliminate downtime, and increase profit.
How can I order my EaseOff?
Go to EaseOff.com, EazeOff.com, and hurry, because we are offering $200 off on the new EZ4 for a limited time. EaseOff.com. We make pigs fly. Cows, too. EaseOff LLC, Summersville, Missouri, 417-932-6419.
Homeowners, are you in foreclosure, expecting to be served with a foreclosure lawsuit, or suspect your lender has coerced you into an illegal mortgage transaction? A huge number of mortgages made in the last 10 years have legal issues and are possibly defective. State laws and the U.S. Supreme Court have upheld that defective mortgage documents are grounds for foreclosure defense and for counterclaims in favor of the homeowner. If your mortgage has been sold or assigned since closing the loan, it may be defective and you may be paying the wrong party, and the lender may not have standing or the right to foreclose or collect payments under the law. If you would like to know if your mortgage is legal or not, or know if you are paying the right party, we can help. Our initial consultations are free of charge. We are not attorneys. We are legal researchers and work closely with experienced lawyers who know how to help you find the evidence to help you keep your home.
Email Tom at republicbroadcasting.org. T-O-M at republicbroadcasting.org.
National hero, which is a good thing. Indeed, indeed. Now, you mentioned that that his actions, he's being punished because of a speculation that his actions might at some point motivate people to break the law.
Yeah.
And you were saying that, well, actually, you know, they haven't. But here's something. What should people not be allowed to say things that are true simply because in society there are people who might be outraged by true things that are happening, and in their outrage they might wind up committing a crime? Does that mean you're not allowed to talk about the truth? And I'm going to...
Well, that was one of the things that the judge said.
Yeah, and I want to raise two quick examples. One is, does that mean that somebody like Jared Taylor should be prevented from talking about black crime statistics because it might make somebody angry? But then also I want to say, does that mean that people shouldn't have been able to say that by the way, I'm not aware of Jared Taylor talking about black crime statistics and that having led to any crime. I'm not aware of that. But what I am aware of is people said that a cop in Minnesota named Derek Chauvin knelt on George Floyd's neck And that did cause massive criminality. It caused dozens of murders. It caused, you know, it led to massive arson and all sorts of violence. And it wasn't even true that Derek Chauvin's knee caused George Floyd's death. But still, does that mean that somebody can't say? Should we ban somebody saying that a police officer knelt on George Floyd's neck and that he died? Should that be prohibited speech? It did wind up causing massive criminality and massive destruction. But even that, even such an example as that, should that be banned? I'm not saying it should be banned.
Well, the issue here, and the judge brought this up, the judge said one of the reasons why a custodial sentence was necessary is because Sam spoke specifically about the grooming gangs. And this is interesting, you see, because when Sam discussed the issue of the grooming gangs, the judge reasoned that this was an aggravating factor because the issue of grooming was in the news at the time. It was an issue that people were angry about. And because this issue was clearly happening and it was clearly a hot topic, that Sam was irresponsible in talking about it. Now, this sets sort of an insane precedent, and this will boggle your mind. So what the judge was essentially saying is that if somebody talks about an issue that is newsworthy, it is wrong talking about that newsworthy issue when that issue is in the news, because by doing so, you're in some way irresponsible and you're more likely to create a problem. Now, that is insane, because no one's going to talk about grooming gangs if they don't exist. You know, so what he's saying is you can talk about the grooming gangs if they don't exist, or if grooming isn't taking place. But you can't talk about grooming gangs when grooming is taking place. But that's insane. Why would you talk about grooming? You only talk about things when they're happening, because really that's, you know, a way of solving the problem. That's a way of raising awareness. But the judge is saying by doing that, that in his opinion is an aggravating factor in what he did. It's an aggravating factor. And I find that mind boggling. I usually have a take on things, but I actually don't have a particularly good take on this actual issue, because to me I look at this and think, well, it makes literally no sense. It's sort of clown world kind of, it's sort of a clown world way of thinking, you know, and ultimately, you know, how could you possibly suggest that something can't be talked about when it is at its, you know, when it's at sort of its zenith, you know, when something is a large problem affecting people, that's when you cannot talk about it. And yeah, that's what the judge said.
So I think of the early Bolsheviks under Lenin, and there was a concept, I think it was called democratic centralism. And the idea was that you could have a debate about issues, but that debate had to happen at the center. It had to happen, say, within the Politburo. You could have a discussion and debate about something at the very center, and then it would be settled, and then everybody else could only go along with what was settled. So if you're saying that you can't talk about issues in the news, you're saying that people have zero political rights. That's what you're saying, that they have zero political rights until a narrative has been settled by the elite, and then all you can do is agree with it. So there's zero political rights.
And what's that called again? I'm going to bring that one up with people.
I think it was democratic centralism. If it's not, I'll let you know. I think it was democratic centralism.
Yeah. Well, that's essentially what the judge was saying, that we have to have a system whereby, you know, if you are discussing something, you are in somewhat big trouble if you're discussing it outside of the realms of what they believe is, you know, the accepted narrative, or discussing something at a time when it is a particularly pressing issue, because then it's incendiary. And all these things sort of make your head hurt, because you're thinking about it and thinking, well, this is not only anti-democratic, but it's also anti-common sense. But then you realize the kind of people who are making these laws, And these laws aren't being made to help us, are they? They're not being made to give us greater freedom and make our lives better. These laws are all being, you know, put on the books to take away our freedoms. And, you know, Sam is obviously, you know, a victim of this. This is exactly what Sam is a victim of.
Mm-hmm. Okay. So, and then, of course, there, like you said, Sam's case has provoked a great deal of sympathy, and there's an outpouring of support for him. Another piece of news that happened over the weekend, we had talked a little bit about this a couple of weeks ago about a by-election in somewhere in Britain where you had the Tory party had nominated a Muslim candidate who then they had to, I think, wasn't it the Tories had nominated a Muslim who they had to then disassociate themselves with because that
was Labour.
Was that Labour? And who had the Tories? I guess maybe the Tories are just so unpopular, but
I don't think they even got any reasonable numbers in this election. I think at the moment the Conservative Party are in such a mess. I don't believe they're even sort of posting reasonable by-election numbers. I think it's so bad for them that they're more or less getting run out of town at every opportunity.
And we mentioned that George Galloway was running. Who wound up winning that election?
George Galloway won the election. Now, this is really interesting because obviously we're talking about the issue of Sam Melia, but all this sort of happened at the same time. You know, Sam Melia was sentenced on Friday, and George Galloway got elected in the early hours of Friday morning. And the interesting thing about this is that also sent shockwaves through the establishment, and it strangely enough, it resulted in Rishi Sunak giving a bizarre speech outside Number 10 Downing Street, where he talked about the threat to democracy. Now, I would like to know what he means by threat to democracy. And when I say I'd like to know what he means, because George Galloway was democratically elected. Now, whether you love or loathe George Galloway, he was democratically elected to that position. George Galloway, you know, he didn't force his way into Parliament. He didn't, you know, fight his way through the doors and, you know, push his way in. He walked through the front door as an elected member of Parliament. But again, what you have here is a situation where the establishment are now saying to people, if it's not one of our boys, it's not acceptable. So you can vote in George Galloway. And I always remember the establishment saying things like, well, the media would be like, well, if you don't like it, guys, vote in someone different. Well, the people of Rochdale did vote in someone different. They voted in George Galloway. George Galloway is now their Member of Parliament. And the response from the mainstream is, well, you're not allowed to vote for him. When we say vote in somebody different, what we mean is vote in somebody who is an establishment man. But they didn't vote in an establishment man. They have voted in a man who is anti-establishment, who is someone who is basically anti-Zionist. And this represents a huge, huge shift in UK politics, because this election saw the widespread rejection of both sides of the political oligarchy. It saw a rejection of the Conservatives. They completely floundered, and in their space popped up the Reform Party and the local independent. And in the space of Labour has popped up George Galloway's party, the Workers' Party. Now, George Galloway's party is there as an anti-establishment, anti-Zionist, anti-Israel alternative. And that's interesting, isn't it? Because now what you've actually got emerging is people from the Muslim community saying, well, we've had enough. We're not voting for the mainstream anymore. The mainstream are pro-Israel, they're pro-killing, they're pro the Gaza genocide. And because of that, they're saying they're going to vote George Galloway. Now, that, to me, you know, is an extremely interesting position. And it's an interesting position for a couple of reasons. Now, the first reason is it does show that both white people, in terms of voting for reform, are moving away from the Conservative Party. And it also shows that Muslims are willing to vote for another party as well. And the party that Muslims are willing to vote for is an anti-Zionist, you know, left of centre party. And I find this very, very interesting, because fundamentally what you're seeing over the political spectrum is the centre being eroded as politics polarises, which is a good thing. These two central parties that have formed this two-party, this anti-white two-party oligarchy are now moving, are now completely failing. And the left are being eroded, you know, the Zionist left are being eroded by the likes of Galloway. And the, you know, the mainstream pro-immigration right are being eroded by the likes of the Reform Party and other anti-immigration parties, which basically presents an interesting situation that could fundamentally lead to the dissolution of the old center parties, which is fundamentally what we want. You know, centrist politics, which takes people nowhere, is being eroded. And they're furious about it. And they're furious about it because they're not in control anymore. They're not the ones calling the shots. They are the ones who are having to deal with outsiders coming in and saying, well, we want political change. Now, there's a lot of people on the dissident right who don't like George Galloway, because George Galloway, you know, is famous for taking quite left-wing stances on things in the past. A lot of people are angry on the dissident right because when you express, you know, support for Galloway, because Galloway supported the dissolution of white South Africa, he supported Nelson Mandela, etc. But these are different times. And I'm not saying Galloway should be our bedfellow, but what I am saying is, if Galloway chips away at the system and helps destroy the this stale political situation we've got in this country, which just sees one party replaced by the other and both parties being nigh on identical, I think that's a wonderful thing. I think that is something that we as dissidents should absolutely support and should absolutely welcome.
Mm-hmm. And we've got an interesting development in the United States. There is an organization called the Democratic Socialists of America, which is it's really a faction within the Democratic Party. It's been associated with Bernie Sanders. It's associated with the Squad, AOC and Rashida Tlaib and Ilhan Omar, among others. And they issued a statement saying that that they support voting against Joe Biden. In the primaries, that means voting uncommitted. That's usually a choice. People can vote uncommitted. So you don't have to vote for another candidate. There really aren't any viable candidates against Joe Biden in the primaries. So they're saying vote against him. But I also saw a slogan being carried by one of these members in a demonstration that it said, in November, we will remember. So don't vote for Joe Biden. If Joe Biden doesn't alter his position on supporting Israel, don't vote for him in November. And it's on Joe. If Trump gets a second term, that's on Joe Biden. So you've got a faction of the Democratic Party that is threatening to withhold support for Biden, even if it means reelecting Donald Trump. So that's interesting. There's one other interesting thing I want to raise. And it's often assumed that Donald Trump is pro-Israel. And for, you know, for better or for worse, the most of the Republican Party is pretty pro-Israel. But the New York Times ran an article on Friday questioning Donald Trump's support for Israel, saying, well, he hasn't actually said anything very specific. All he says is, this would have never happened if I was president. Something very vague. He keeps repeating that. They pointed out that in the days immediately following the outbreak of the current chaos, that he said Benjamin Netanyahu had let down the Israeli people, that his Hezbollah, not Hamas, but Hezbollah opponents were led by very smart people. They're very smart people. And so the New York Times is questioning Donald Trump's commitment to Israel. So it's very interesting. You've got a big hunk of the Democratic voter base that's up in arms about this, the young, and the non-white, and they don't even, they increasingly don't even, they're not even being scared by the boogeyman of Donald Trump. So we only have a couple minutes left, but what do you think of that?
I think, again, this is brilliant, because this is something that, well, really I'm talking about, and you're talking about, and, you know, we're talking about with George Galloway. This is the far left pulling away from the center left. As we've seen recently, I mean, this has happened more and more on the right, to be fair. We have seen the center right be completely eroded, the center right's powers be completely eroded by the sort of more radical anti-immigration right. That is something that has happened again and again and again. But generally speaking, the left has held it together more. The center left has had more power over the dissident left than the, you know, center right.
Sur mon lit à bouffer sa langue en buvant dans mon whisky. Quant à moi, peu dormi, vie débris, mais j'ai dû dormir dans la gouttière où j'ai eu un flash.
People often write to tell us what has happened for them since starting Extendivite. Allow me to read a few. After taking Extendivite for about 6 months, I've noticed improvement on the numbness of my hands and wrists from the carpal tunnel syndrome. I will continue to buy product. This formula is very powerful. I am feeling much better. My heart rate and blood pressure is stabilized. My lower edema has reduced, and lower leg pain due to blood clots has disappeared. This product has relieved what appears to be an angina problem, pain in the chest after climbing stairs and short on breath. I'm quite happy about it. To order, call 1-877-928-8822 or visit extendivite.com. That's extendivite.com.
Extend your life with Extendovite.
Health Simple with Kalwara Shilaji, fact bit number 3. Shilaji is the supreme yoga vaha. Within Ayurveda, Shilaji is the singular substance that towers above all other herbs, herbal minerals, and earth-made adaptogens. Yoga vaha refers to substances that have the ability to synergistically make better and carry other substances to its prescribed destination. In the case of Shilaji, most any herb, food, or mineral is amplified with ionic potential, superimposing superior efficacy with increased cellular energy and absorption rates. One of the best applications for Shilaji is to add a drop or two into your favorite herbal tincture and foodstuff. Simply put, Shilaji makes other substances more effective.
Look for the gold mountain and medical symbol logo in banners on republicbroadcasting.org to watch the full video and see more information. Use code GORBN when ordering. That's G-O-R-B-N.
Are you one of the millions of people who feel like there is a dark cloud hanging over their heads whenever they're using pharmaceutical drugs? For some, the short-term relief can turn into an opioid addiction nightmare. Have you ever wondered why CBD oil is a billion-dollar industry? It's because it works better than opioids and is actually healthy for you. However, CBD oil is stripped of all other helpful compounds found in the hemp plant. According to neuroscientists, the whole hemp plant, otherwise known as hemp paste, is even more effective than the chemically processed CBD oil. Are you ready to take back your health? You can try hemp paste for the price of a cup of coffee.
Hemppaste.com/RBN. Free shipping on orders over $50. See the banners for hemp paste at republicbroadcasting.org and visit hemppaste.com/RBN.
When a problem comes along, you must whip it. Live all the cream that's not too long. You must whip it. When something's going wrong, you must whip it. Now whip it into shape. Shape it up.
But generally speaking, the left has held it together more. The center left has had more power over the dissident left than the, you know, centre-right has had over the dissident right. And this is very interesting, because what this could well lead to is a very, very interesting realignment of politics in America, where because Biden has basically betrayed the people of Gaza and has basically supported Israel's, you know, genocide in the region, this could cost Biden the election. And I think that is a good thing. And I think this is the kind of thing that all dissident political organizations or all dissident political thinkers should absolutely be welcoming. You know, I'm welcoming it. I'm looking at this and thinking to myself, this is absolutely, you know, fantastic. This is what we need, a complete realignment of politics in the Western world. And I think we're going to see that now. And the fact it's happening, not just in one Anglosphere country here in Britain, but in America as well, is brilliant, because you're not just seeing the centre-right betray the anti-immigration right. You are now seeing the centre-left betraying the pro-Palestinian, pro-civil rights, if you like, left. And this is interesting, isn't it? Because basically what we're saying is the centre is completely controlled by Zionists. Centrist politics on both the right and the left is controlled by Zionists. But the situation with dissident politics is more and more anti-Zionist. So the dissident right is anti-Zionism, it's anti-wars in the Middle East, it's anti-immigration, it's anti-multiculturalism, which is all rubber stamped by the Zionist elite. But on the left, the anti-Zionist left, well, they are anti-wars in Middle East. They are anti the genocide in Palestine. They are anti-Israeli control over the Middle East. And this must be really worrying the Zionist powers, because the fact they've got Rishi Sunak, who's an absolute out-and-out Zionist, to come out on television and give this blistering speech about how the, well, blistering, more cringeworthy actually would be better the word, this cringeworthy speech about how the greatest threat to democracy is both from the far right and the far left. What he's actually saying is that the anti-Zionist powers on both sides of the political spectrum are now absolutely terrifying the mainstream and the establishment. And this is where the establishment and the mainstream have to reevaluate what they're doing, because if they don't reevaluate what they're doing, there is going to be a serious, serious decline in centrist politics. Yeah. And the first part of that decline is actually going to be in the UK against the Labour Party, because the Labour Party, sorry, against the Conservative Party, because the Conservative Party, by current predictions, is looking at maybe, if they're lucky, 20 seats in Parliament. That's if the general election was held today, they would get 20 seats in Parliament. But 20 seats in Parliament is absolutely nothing. That's a complete collapse. That's gone from a parliamentary majority of nearly 400 seats down to 20. And that will give Labour a massive majority. So you might say, well, how do I think that's going to help hurt the Labour Party? Well, once Labour have that massive majority, Labour will then begin eating themselves over this issue, and they will be the next party to fall. And at the time these two old parties go, that is when normal people are presented with new options and have to actually choose with their head rather than choosing with the flawed logic of voting for a party that they dislike, but they just dislike the other one more.
We will we'll have to discuss that in future episodes. This has been great. Thank you so much for joining me.
Well, thank you for so much for having me, Patrick. I always really enjoy it, and I'll see you next week.
See you next week, and I'll be back again tomorrow with another exciting episode of National Bugle Radio.
Hercules, hero of song and story, Hercules, winner of ancient glory.
My name is John. I'm the founder of Black Owl Coffee, and I started Black Owl because I really love coffee. I've always loved coffee, and after traveling so much to Europe, South America, and trying so many different coffees that were so good, and every time I came back to the U.S., I was so disappointed with the coffee, so I figured that I had to do something about it. The biggest difference is on the beans and the roasting process, how we roast it, and how fresh it is. The fresher the roast, the better the quality. Here I have like all of the coffee that's roasted within 1 to 2 days prior to being shipped. So it literally gets to consumers' house within 3 to 5 days after being roasted. If you like coffee, you have to try ours. It's fresh roasted. It's one of the best beans that we can get, and you will definitely see the difference.
visit blackoutcoffee.com and use the coupon code REPUB10. That's REPUB10.
You're listening to Republic Broadcasting Network, because you can handle the truth.